this is Amy Medling. I'm a certified health coach and founder of PCOS Diva. And I'm here today with Dr. Corey Schuler. And as we are entering the holiday season, I thought that it would be wonderful to have Dr. Corey, who is a board-certified nutrition specialist, and he's really an expert in food and mood. And so he's going to be sharing some of his thoughts and tips around holiday sugar cravings, and then we're going to talk a little bit about seasonal affective disorder. I know that that is an issue that a lot of women with PCOS, including myself, deal with, you know, as those of us in the Northern Hemisphere are experiencing the shorter days. And we're also going to talk a little bit about stress and anxiety, and I know that this can be a stressful time of the year for a lot of us, and, you know, how we can kind of counterbalance some of those, you know, stress and anxiety feelings that we're having right now. So welcome, Dr. Corey. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So I just wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about you and your practice. Dr. Corey is a board-certified nutrition specialist. As I had mentioned, he's a licensed nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner from Bloomington, Minnesota, and he runs the Metabolic Treatment Center, and you can find him at metabolictreatmentcenter.com. And he speaks nationally about mood, hormones, and holistic health. He is frequently interviewed for radio, magazines, and blogs, and he's on several medical advisory boards and consults leaders in the dietary supplement and nutrition industry. I actually met Dr. Corey when I was doing some research back in June of 2011 on MACA, and Dr. Corey was a medical educator of Feminescence, MACA, and you can read more about MACA on my site. We're not going to really be talking about that, but I've been impressed with his breadth and depth of knowledge when it comes to nutrition. So thank you again, and I wanted to jump right into, you know, your thoughts on sugar cravings as we enter the holiday season. I know many of us have already, you know, hit the Halloween candy buckets, and, you know, how can we start taking more control over our sugar cravings as we enter the holiday season?
It's an excellent and timely question. Honestly, I can't believe that it's been 2.5 years since I met you. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Oh my gosh, time flies. So, and you're right, seasonal affective disorder, you in northern climate, me in northern climate, we talk to people that have this going on all the time. But let's start, like you said, with sugar cravings. And ideally, I want people to get to know the root of the craving that they're having, and it's a very personalized experience. But sometimes, especially in this season, we just don't have time to really look back and have the evaluation. So I like to use some examples. When someone sits down in front of me or we have our initial phone conversation and they say, I just have terrible cravings. And I say, okay, well, is it more for like sweet stuff or salty stuff? And if it's sweets, which we're talking about now, I'll say, do you crave more things like M&Ms or Skittles? Like, is it that fruity sweet, or is it that like deep, rich sweet that you're experiencing? And I can kind of sort through that might be a neurotransmitter, a brain chemistry imbalance just by that single question. And so I'll go into that a little bit more. When people crave chocolate, that might be a sign that tyrosine, which is a very specific amino acid, it's a precursor to dopamine, which is the neurotransmitter that helps us experience joy, that might be in short supply. And so when we can kind of filter through what our body is actually trying to communicate to us, then it's a little bit easier. But like I said, we don't always have the time. So what a blanket situation is where I say, our bodies need pretty limited amounts of sugar. Virtually we need zero processed sugar, but our bodies really do need other things. And so there's a term, I'm going to throw out this kind of unusual term called the nutristatic hypothesis. Basically means that your body wants to eat until it gets the nutrients that it needs. And mm-hmm. so that tends to be a challenge when you keep missing the mark, as we'd say. So one of those things that our body craves really deeply, and we might not even realize, or we might misrecognize it as a sugar craving, and it actually is a salt craving. And so the first thing I recommend when we go into the season is to do a measured dose of salt. We call it soleil therapy or brine therapy, first thing in the morning. And what that does is it gives us just a little bit of salt in the morning and helps stave off some cravings later in the day.
And, you know, I was wondering about the salt. This is something I was thinking about the other day. I love detox baths, and I do Epsom salt and baking soda, and I put sea salt in the bath and some essential oils. And I find that to be really relaxing, probably, you know, the magnesium and the essential oils, you know, certainly aromatherapy helps. But I'm wondering, can you get the trace minerals transdermally from the sea salt?
To a small degree, yes. And actually, I'm writing an article on this today about how we cycle. And actually, our skin sort of changes porousness throughout the month. So we all have our cycles, our monthly, our seasonal cycles. And there's some suggestion that there's a lunar cycle that corresponds with how well we adapt to minerals and like how well we absorb them. And sometimes during the month we excrete them. So kind of maybe loosely based on the changes in the moon. And so very interesting that you bring that up. But yeah, we do get some of that. And some minerals are better absorbed than others. Magnesium is actually one of them that is well absorbed through the skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you finding that patients that are really craving chocolate are also low in magnesium?
You're absolutely right. Magnesium can be one of those things. There's a few things that sort of go down as inflammation sets in, and I know you talk to your folks about inflammation a lot because it's so cognizant in the minds of people with PCOS. But the idea here is that anytime inflammation in the body rises, so think about like the tide coming in. Anytime mm-hmm. inflammation rises, you have things that decrease. Magnesium is absolutely one of those things that gets depleted with inflammation. Another one is going to be zinc, another important mineral. And another one, get this, with seasonal affective disorder, is vitamin D. So as inflammation goes up, those three nutrients, to be very specific, are the ones that sort of get hit the hardest.
So that's one of the reasons that we're reaching for chocolate, you know, in addition to the sugar, but our bodies kind of need that magnesium boost. I often tell my clients to put raw cacao in their smoothies because that's a rich source of magnesium. But I wanted to just backtrack to the soleil therapy. Maybe you could give the listeners some specific instructions on, you know, how to utilize the salt with the soleil.
Sure. And in full disclosure, I speak on behalf of Original Himalayan Crystal Salt, so that's the one that I know of and I know the resources to. There is the website is HimalayanCrystalSalt.com, and the reason that I want to give you that resource is because there's a recipe for soleil, and it's spelled S-O-L-E. Some people call it soul. It's actually supposed to be soleil, and that is there's a recipe there. What it is, and so just imagine taking large stones, not like the little granule salt that you get for table salt at restaurants and things, but big, almost rocks. They're like the size of a computer mouse and maybe half that size. And those go in a mason jar. And you fill that mason jar about half full with the cleanest water you can find, filtered, osmosis, reverse osmosis, whatever, ozonated water, and fill that up half full and let that super saturate. So if we go back to, I don't know, sophomore, junior year in high school and remember chemistry, there's something called a super saturated solution. And that's when the solvent or the water won't hold any more solute, the salt itself. And so it's actually, there's no more salt that can be put into that salt solution. So there's actually, it's so dense with salt inside the water that not all of the salt can be dissolved. So you actually get salt at the bottom of the of this mason jar. And what you do is you take a teaspoon of that, add it to 12 to 16 ounces of, again, nice clean water every morning, and that is what we call Soleil Therapy, that fresh glass of water with just a little bit of supersaturated solution in it. It ends up being about a 1% solution, which just happens to be about the same concentration as our tears, our sweat, our normal saline concentration in our bodies.
So we're getting all of those trace minerals from the sea salt, and that's what's helping with the sugar cravings?
Yeah, so it's offsetting some of those, the need, the body's sort of hierarchy of needs for salt. So salt in the body is actually working to, number one, it works as a kind of a digestive toner. It helps with upper digestion in the stomach. It helps with buffering acid in the jejunum or the small intestine. But it also helps with nerve conductivity. So if you've ever had the experience when you have a craving and it's like, somebody else inside you wants it, and it's not really, you're not conscious of it, that can be probably one of two things. Number one is it's just not, your brain's really just not functioning optimally. And the other thing is it could be a type of infection called a candidiasis or candida is what usually is good. So those are the two things that you'd want to think about. But yeah, Soleil is, I would say, the number one, it's the home run for a lot of people.
Oh, that's really great info. I do, if anybody wants to read more about pink Himalayan sea salt, I don't talk about Soleil Therapy, but I have some of the benefits of that in a blog article on my site, as well as more information about Candida and how you can kind of fight that. So two resources for you to look for on PCOSDiva.com. I often think of women with PCOS who are really struggling as being overfed and undernourished. I know that was certainly the what was going on with me when I was really struggling with PCOS. So I think getting all of these important trace minerals that our body can effectively run is so important. So any other thoughts on sugar cravings during this holiday season?
Yeah, there's always the chance that that what we've just described doesn't fit the specific listener's situation. So there's two sort of backups, I would call it. The first backup, and this is something that I'm recommending to most people anyway, is that, and I think that you are too, is having a protein rich but also a fat-rich breakfast. So we're getting, you know, I mentioned Soleil Therapy first thing in the morning basically right away, but not too long after that, a smoothie with a protein powder or something of that nature, and then I add, and I recommend my patients add, any kind of fats. So there's a few things that I like to suggest, and you can kind of do this based on taste or what fits you best. Coconut oil is rich in medium-chain triglycerides, or MCT. You can actually get MCT oil, which is a little bit more pure than coconut oil. It mixes better, doesn't taste as coconutty, and you can add that to your smoothie as well, and it changes the texture a little bit, makes it a little bit kind of smoother, I would say. And then this, some people are going to like shirk in discomfort as I say this, but I actually add 3 tablespoons, and I recommend this for a few of my patients, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin cold pressed olive oil to a smoothie. And that's a lot of fat. It's a lot of fat right away, but it actually cools the, I'm going to use some inappropriate terminology. I'm going to say it cools the mind. I look at these sorts of oils and fats as sort of like cooling foods. And when your brain runs too hot, you grab anything you can. And that's kind of this conversation about cravings anyway. And I think those fats early in the day, especially when the gallbladder is functioning at its greatest efficiency is ideal. Now, there's other things you can look at too. I'll just mention things like ghee or organic grass-fed butter might be useful to mm-hmm. add into these things. Lots of options, and I kind of love them all. I'm a fat fan.
That's great to hear. I think a lot of us have been brainwashed with the whole fat-free bandwagon. So I'm so glad that you are kind of reiterating what I try to share, that fats are good for women with PCOS, and they definitely, I think, make us feel more stable, especially around sugar. So that's a great tip. And I was wondering if you could just mention the name of that oil again. I know a lot of people have an aversion to the coconut taste of coconut oil. What was the...
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's M. M as in Mary. C as in, Colorado. T and T as in Texas. MCT, okay. Just three letters. Oil, and it should say like MCT oil 100% or something of that nature. It should be at your local health food store or co-op. You can also get it online, and it's pretty inexpensive. I actually add it right to my coffee in the morning, and that mm-hmm. seems to be another great way to get more fat into my diet.
And doesn't that type of fat have kind of a thermogenic response in our body? It sort of helps to burn fat?
Yeah, you're right. It more or less teaches us how to burn fat. It's fast acting, so it's able to burn it easier. Some of the fats are really what they call long chain, and long chain fatty acids are harder to break down. If they're harder to break down, they take longer, and if it takes too long, you end up storing it sometimes. Even omega-3 fatty acids or omega-6 fatty acids, especially omega-6 fatty acids, take too long, and then you end up storing it. But MCTs are short little guys, and they burn up real fast, and teach your body to use them a little bit more appropriately and burn fat.
Yeah, that's a great tip. So I wanted to move into the topic of seasonal affective disorder. I know I've kind of looked at this at length, and there's been quite a few studies that show that women with PCOS have higher depression scores, higher risk of depression. They have higher levels of mild anxiety, more than women without PCOS. I do think that it's a real issue, and I've seen it suggested. I haven't seen the research to back this claim up, but that women with PCOS have lower levels of serotonin. I know for me, definitely having more vitamin D in my, it's a supplement has helped. But maybe you could speak to, some other tips on how to kind of stave off this winter blues.
Sure. Yeah, and there's probably another half hour worth of work here to do, but there's something called, and I'm going to say it slowly, maybe a couple times so people hear it when they're listening, called methylation. And mm-hmm. methylation is a pathway in the body. It happens all over the place, hundreds, millions of times per second in our bodies, and some of us don't do it very efficiently, whether it's a genetic thing. Usually it's a genetic thing, but there's a lot of different reasons why we don't methylate properly, and it seems like there's an underlying issue there with neurotransmitters, hormones, etc., especially with women with PCOS. There was a recent article just published actually showing that women with PCOS have higher levels of poor methylation, and so that I'll actually get you that article so you can share it with your audience because I think it's really interesting. But that might be underlying the whole thing. But let's get to the nuts and bolts and the application of it. I think vitamin D is absolutely necessary, especially at northern climates, even at southern climates. A lot of the anxiety and depression probably is coming from inflammation, might be coming from poor methylation, but vitamin D probably needs to be supplemented. And you probably should work with your healthcare practitioner in order to do that. But I'm routinely recommending things at 4,000 or 5,000 IU, or international units, excuse me, so that, but I am also tracking them via blood test. In regards to seasonal affective disorder, inflammation, this methylation bit, zinc is a pretty big player. I just wrote an article yesterday about a research paper that showed 25 milligrams of zinc in major depressive disorder. These are people that are like hospitalized or feel like they need to be hospitalized, antidepressants aren't working. 25 milligrams of zinc actually improved depression scores, so people were feeling a lot better even just after a few weeks. So that's the next thing. And then kind of to round the corner on this, the idea that methylation is, and this is a little bit complex, so it's things like folate, B12, B6, and then sulfur-containing amino acids like cysteine and N-acetylcysteine. These are things we might have heard of. Mm-hmm. They're really rich in things like eggs. Eggs are sulfur-rich foods. So sulfur-rich foods and this methylation kind of thing is something that we might want to be paying attention to. And we know independently that folate and B12 can improve mood. So what's in your multivitamin might be mildly supportive, but if you actually have a methylation issue, then we need to go a little bit deeper with that. And then the very last thing, and this is actually really cool because it just came out in the American College of Nutrition, the Journal of American College of Nutrition. I just read it today about how movement or just exercising actually then dictates our food choices. So they looked at a group of women and showed that if they took more than 6,000 steps a day, you know, those little pedometers, we always hear about the 10,000 step rule. Well, actually 6,000 steps, if you took more than 6,000 steps, you made better food choices throughout the day. So just being active, walking around, moving, and kind of making sure that you get that movement all plays a role and can reduce things like depression and anxiety during this holiday season. And then maybe cravings aren't going to be as big of an issue. Maybe we can wrap this all up together because it is all interconnected.
Yeah, and I think 6,000 is a lot more doable than 10,000 a day for a lot of us. That's really good news. I also wanted to just point out B12. I think, you know, a lot of women with PCOS are on metformin, and I think that metformin has been shown to deplete B12.
Yeah, you're right. Metformin, get this, metformin, oral contraceptives or birth control pills, and spironolactone, do these medications sound familiar? They all deplete folate and B12 and B6. Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think that a lot of doctors, you know, explain that to their patients or monitor, you know, the B12, you know, the B vitamin levels. And I know that a lot of women, when they finally are able to get them tested, they're, like, significantly deplete. So I'm wondering if you have some recommendations on, you know, what you typically dose for, you know, maintenance for B vitamins or and zinc.
Yeah, so the zinc I leave at 25 milligrams per day. And here's the challenge with zinc and vitamin D, actually, is you got to kind of look at your entire supplement regimen. If you're on two or three or five things, you might have a little bit of in everything. So you got to be careful not to overdose. Too much zinc actually depletes copper and causes other sorts of issues. So you want to be careful about just getting that right amount. But I like people to have 25 milligrams of supplemental zinc, especially during this season. And then vitamin D total around 4,000 or 5,000 international units if they're being monitored via blood test. And in fact, I've yet to find somebody that gives excess vitamin D by taking 4,000 or 5,000 international units per day. So I'm really comfortable with that. But I know the general recommendation is that we get monitored. In regards to B vitamin status, it's a little bit trickier, to be very honest, because it does go into, if you don't have the right genes, you can't encode, blah, blah, blah. So what I recommend is that you actually get a blood test. And the one blood test that is very helpful and kind of gives us a general idea if you're doing this right or not is called homocysteine. And homocysteine used to be thought of primarily as a cardiovascular risk factor. It's actually looked at more of now as, are you methylating properly or not? And if it's anything over 5, that probably means that you need extra folate, methylcobalamin, or B12, and B6.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to point out, too, that a lot of B12 in supplements is not that form of methylcobalamin. It's the cyanin cobalamin, which is a cheaper source.
Yeah, cyanocobalamin is perfectly synthetic and not really found in nature, but it's the cheapest flavor of the week. The other versions are adenosyl cobalamin, which isn't bad, and then hydroxycobalamin. So you just have to look, but most like store-bought retail multivitamins will contain cyanocobalamin, the synthetic form. And in fact, if you're a smoker, which I hope we're not, but if you are, that actually kind of increases some risks. So that you're already getting cyanide essentially from the tobacco and the smoking, and so cyanocobalamin will potentially add to that those issues.
So maybe you could just take a minute to explain the difference between folic acid and folate. So I know a lot of women with PCOS are on folic acid. Go ahead.
Yeah, folic acid, again, 100% synthetic man-made chemical, and it's found in most of your multivitamins. What we prefer is natural folates, and folate basically is found in any leafy greens, so that's the primary source that we'd want to put in it. Of course, it's fortified in grains, which I'm not a fan of. Not the fortification, I'm just not a fan of grains in general. And so the folate that you really want from a supplement are things like natural folate, which contains the whole family of folates, something called 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, which you don't need to know, that's not on the quiz, but it has a 5 in front of it. And then there's one called 10-4-meal. And both of those are actually sort of the end product versions of folate. They are on sort of the synthetic end of things, but it reduces the body's need to process that folic acid. Folic acid, I tend not to recommend in any way, shape, or form if I can help it.
Mm-hmm. So is there a supplement that people could buy with the folate, like the whole food, kind of a whole food-based supplement?
Yeah, there's one. There's a company called Thorne Research that makes something called Methyl Guard, and that's a good product. Orthomolecular is another company. They have a product called Cardio B, and Metagenics has a product called Active Folate, which is just the folate itself, not all the B12 and other things, but that works pretty well for certain cases.
Great. Such great information. I think we're going to kind of wrap up, but I just wanted to ask you your thoughts on, I know at this holiday season where, there's lots of cake and cookies and lots of gluten-heavy foods. And in your work, have you noticed a real correlation between gluten and mood issues?
Gluten and I'm going to include alcohol and dairy and sugar all wreak havoc on brains. I mean, I think of this as like a street drug. All of these foods are really, in fact, I'm going to use the word dangerous. So watch your favorite movie or Breaking Bad or whatever shows are out there. Look at those addicts out there and you think, oh, how could you live like that? But the fact is that some of these foods are acting that way on you. And it's very an individualized experience. But if you don't react perfectly to it and you don't have the resilience to kind of fight off these brain damaging foods, then it's a drug to you and you may be an addict. And so stay away and get support because you will probably need it. No alcoholic or drug addict who's recovering knows that they can't just do this on their own. You absolutely need support to beat these addictions.
Yeah, I agree. It's great advice. And if I just wanted everyone to know that if you want to learn more about Dr. Corey and the work that he does, he is available at metaboliktreatmentcenter.com. And gosh, I could talk to you for for a lot longer than our half-hour time frame here, Dr. Corey, and I hope that you can join us again soon.
That would be great, Amy. Thank you for having me.